Well, I remember being in middle school and carpooling with a couple of buddies of mine. We were riding together as usual, and I remember listening to our favorite local pop station, as we so often did. The cast of morning DJs always made us laugh, and along with the mix of pop music made our 10 minutes morning commute tolerable. On this particular morning, however, the tone from the DJs was less jovial and more serious, as they were discussing current events in the news that day. I believe it was around the time of the Los Angeles riots, when racial tensions were at a boiling point after four white police officers were acquitted in the beating of a black motorist, Rodney King. The LA riots lasted 5 days and left more than 50 people dead, along with more than 2,000 injured. The rioting destroyed and damaged over 1,000 buildings in the Los Angeles area and caused over $1 billion in destruction. Shortly after the riots began, Mr. King himself made the famous emotional plea for peace and calm, saying, "Can we all get along? Can we all just get along?" I remember sitting pensive in that minivan, listening to the DJs talk back and forth. And then I remember speaking up. "You know, I wish everyone would just marry people from other cultures. That way everyone would be a mix of different cultures and races. If we were all mixed, people wouldn't fight, and then maybe we could all then just get along." I was so proud of my comment. My friend's mom seemed impressed that at my young age and in the midst of such racial tension, a middle schooler would think that progressively. Or at least that's what I think she thought. Now, being a child of immigrants and a product of two cultures, my Mexican heritage and my American upbringing, I've always seemed to be more sensitive to issues of race and culture. So it makes sense that even at such a young age, I had this attitude towards bringing people together. Well, I felt that way for the longest time until I took a New Testament class in seminary. Throughout that class, we looked at various commentaries and perspectives on the New Testament. And during one particular session, we looked at Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now, I remember having this epiphany moment, one of those watershed moments that hits you like a ton of bricks. In Galatians 3:28, Paul pleads for the eradication of dominance, not the erasure of difference. Even in Christ, there is human difference. Yet Christ abolishes the dominance of one over the other based on these differences. Jews should not dominate Gentiles. Free persons should not dominate slaves. Men should not dominate women. Christians should foster harmonious relationships characterized by mutuality and respect for social difference. The words of the Reverend Dr. Brad R. Braxton rang so true to me then, and especially even now. They speak to the unity we are called to and find in the body of Christ. More than just a whitewashing of differences to become a homogeneous group of like-minded individuals and conformity, what the Apostle Paul does is calls us to eradicate entire systems of dominance and oppression. Systems that separate one from another and keeps us from the unity we were created to be in. As Paul points out these systems in the early church, Jews dominating Gentiles, free persons dominating slaves, men dominating women, he serves as the archetype of transformation. If anyone should know about systems of dominance, it was Paul. These were the very systems he was familiar with, the ones he used to persecute Christians, and the systems that the Jewish Christians in Galatia used to separate themselves from the Gentiles. Some of these very systems still plague us to this day. Now, many of us have mistakenly taken Paul's words, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." We've taken those words to mean that we should erase our beautiful differences. But that's not what Paul was intending. In fact, Paul's own ministry was designed to bring in Gentiles to the early church, which would effectively diversify the church's population. Like many of us, this distinction was lost on me in my adolescence. What I had failed to realize was that there is a difference between unity and uniformity. When people enter the Christian community through belief in Christ and baptism, they do not lose their social distinctions that have characterized their lives. Well, why else would God have made us so wonderfully different and unique? If we were all the same, how bland would that be? I once heard the idea of unity described in culinary terms as a hearty stew with lots of meats and vegetables, or as our Cajun brothers and sisters might say, a gumbo. If you've ever had real deal Louisiana-style Cajun gumbo, you know that although it's one gigantic melting pot, each element is distinctive, bringing its own unique flavor and texture to the dish. That cohesion, that unity, yet with the distinction of each element, is what all aspiring cooks and professional chefs aim for. Personally, I learned that lesson the hard way. One time, Melissa and I had some friends over for dinner. In preparing the food for the evening, I got a little overzealous with one of my favorite seasonings and decided to use it in each element of the dinner. Well, when I asked Melissa to taste test the meal before serving it to our guest, she said, "It kind of all tastes the same." Well, after swallowing my pride and getting over my bruised ego, I realized the error of my ways. The lesson was that each element of the meal is supposed to have its own flavor, its own characteristics. Otherwise, it all becomes this bland, boring mess. Now, I don't think I've made that same mistake since, but don't quote me on that. Unified in the body of Christ, we serve God as different parts of the same body, retaining our proper distinctions. But what guides us? Is it our own individual desires? Well, of course not. It is Christ who is the head of the body and God's will that we desire to serve. As Christ teaches us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." It is not our own desires or our own wills that we seek to employ, but God's will. And God calls us to unity through the body. Through prayer, we lay our burdens before God. Through prayer, we pray for others. Through prayer, we seek understanding and align ourselves with God's own will. And in Christ Jesus, we find the perfect model of prayer, calling for God's will to be done and not his own, even in the face of uncertainty and fear. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will be done, but yours." Through prayer, we find unity in the body of Christ, recognizing that Christ is the head and we are the members, unique and special, created for the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Paul pleads for the eradication of dominance, not the erasure of difference. Brothers and sisters, in some ways it seems that not much has changed since the early 90s and the LA riots. We find ourselves bombarded almost daily with the racial and cultural tensions that divide our country and the world. But what the Apostle Paul implores to us to remember is that our calling in Christ is to unity, a unity that no longer separates us by social distinctions, but a unity that celebrates our diversity and draws us together as one. Brothers and sisters, in hearing the words of the Apostle Paul, may we be reminded that through our baptism we have been made new, members of the one body, united with Christ Jesus. May we remember that we are united, not separated by our own divisiveness. May we be united in our prayers to seek God's will in this world and not our own. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.